from the Psalms that I've preached on many times. In fact, it's become a message that I pretty regularly preach, but I didn't think I'd preach it. But I read that verse, and later on I shared it with the Men's Revival Seekers prayer meeting. And at that time I felt like I should preach it again. I was compelled to preach it again. And we had the prayer meeting, and then we had the meeting for soul winning at 1201 downstairs, and we went out, and I went out with Matt's on Matt's route, as I usually have been doing, and we got back. We finished up just before 6 o'clock because Brother Zukowski said it was going to be raining at 6 o'clock, so we went from about 1 o'clock till 6 o'clock, and on the way back it was so beautiful. We were going by the mountains and just saw the rain coming in, and it was approaching, just beautiful, with the sunshine, then the rain began to come just after we finished soul winning. I thought how beautiful it is, and how good the Lord is, and what a privilege it is to serve Him. So I would like to go back to our text that I want to read to you tonight. I've preached on it before. Please take your Bible and turn to Psalm 102 and verse number 13. Now I tell you, my daughter Mindy's here tonight, and she probably doesn't even know this, but you say, what's the first time you ever saw this verse in the Bible? And it was when Mindy was at Hiles Anderson College, and she sent me a message, I think it was on the old cassette tapes, preached by Dr. Jack Hiles on this text. And I listened to that, and I loved it. It was so good. That was the first time to be exposed to this text. And then I preached on it myself and have preached on it at different times quite a bit through the years. So, Mindy, you had the first place on that one. And so tonight we're going to read Psalm 102 and verse number 13 on this message. And I'll read it. You can follow in your copy of God's Word, the King James Bible. Everybody got your Bibles? All right, here goes. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Now, a lot of people read that scripture and they look at Zion, and that's what I would like to do. I would like to look, first of all, at Zion, and I would like to look at the place of Zion, because a lot of people sing hymns about Zion, and they don't really know the historical background of Zion. And so what is Zion? The first thing I noticed when I went to Israel, Zion, the original hill of Zion, is flat. One of the Greek enemies of the Lord flattened that hill, and it was a hill where King David's palace was in the old city of Jerusalem, David's city of Jerusalem. And that's mentioned in 1 Kings 8:1 and 2 Kings 19:31. And then Zion expanded to include the Temple Mount, which was just north of the old city of David, the old city of Jerusalem. And it was on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem as it expanded. And finally, Zion expanded to include the entire city of Jerusalem. And I get these last 2 points from Psalm 74, 2 and 3, and also verse 21 of Psalm 74. So that is the place of Zion. And it's pretty emotional to go there to Israel. I went to Israel, and my wife and I were traveling on our tour bus coming from the Dead Sea, which is the lowest place, to the highest place, Jerusalem. You know, it always goes up to Jerusalem, and we were going up, and all of a sudden, there appeared Jerusalem, Zion, and what a sight it was. And my wife began to cry, and they played that song, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and it was just an emotional experience. The first time we'd seen Zion and seen where we're going to be when the new Jerusalem comes down and hovers over the old city, and that's where our place is going to be, because heaven is coming down to earth, amen, and heaven is the city, the new Jerusalem. That's where we go. If we die now, we go up to the third heaven, but it's going to come down. And in the millennium, it's going to be like a chandelier hanging over Mount Zion. And when you think about Zion, with that in mind, let's look at verse 13. It says, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion." So one of the men tell me where is that referring to when he says that God specifically is going to have a set time to pour out his mercy upon Zion. Where specifically are we talking about?
Jerusalem, Israel.
Yeah, Jerusalem, Israel. And that's going to be the center of the world. That's going to be the capital of the world. The next capital of the world is not Moscow, Russia. It's not Beijing, China. Certainly not Washington, D.C. It is Jerusalem, Israel. That is Zion.
It's not Babylon.
And don't forget it. What'd you say?
I said it's not Babylon either.
And it's not Babylon either. Amen. Although that's going to be a revived capital. New Babylon, the capital of the king, the beast, Satan's man. That's where Satan wants to reign. And of course, Satan knows Jerusalem is Zion. He knows the Temple Mount is Zion. And so what does he do? He has an abomination up there right now. It's called a Islam abomination called the Mosque of Omar. And that's up there right now. And the Islamic abominations are right up there. So if you go there now, that's the way it is. Satan has done that. But God says, no matter what Satan has done, the place of Zion, I'm going to bless. He says, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time has come." And Isaiah 2:2 says that at that time when God favors Zion, at the beginning of the millennium there, God is going to bless Zion. And the mountain of Zion, the Temple Mount, is going to be the highest mountain in the world at that time. Now, the mountains won't be as high during that time. They're not going to be like the huge mountains that came or were formed after the flood of Noah. There'll be more rolling hills. But Zion will be the most elevated height at that time. And right on top of Zion will be the millennial temple. And the Lord Jesus himself will be reigning as a priest and a king from the Holy of Holies. Right on top of Mount Zion, and people will literally be able to go up there to that temple. What a time that's going to be. And so God says that that's the place that God is going to bless. And Zion has been blessed in the past. Abraham offered Isaac on Mount Moriah, which is the Temple Mount, Mount Zion. David conquered the Jebusites, very warlike people. He took the city of David and took it and was king over it. And that would be forever from Zion that the king would reign. David moved the Ark of the Covenant there. David purchased Mount Zion, the Temple Mount, from a man named Araunah. And he paid for it. Remember, Araunah was going to give it to him. He said, "I won't sacrifice to the Lord that which costs me nothing." Later, David's son Solomon built the temple there on Mount Moriah. And the glory came down and filled that temple there, right there in that place called Mount Moriah. And the Lord is going to rule over the world from Mount Zion. But wait a minute. That's where the temple of God is going to be. But is the temple of God there now? No, it's not there now. There is a temple in heaven, and the millennial temple will be there in the future. But right now, we're living in what age? It's called the church age. And right now, where is the temple of God? Well, the temple of God is where? One of the men tell me, where is the temple of God during the church age? All right. Can you help me out here? All right. Dr. Luke, I'll go right here.
Our hearts.
All right. Our hearts. But there's something else that we want to look at for the temple of God.
When he says ye, he's talking the church, the local church. Ye are the temple.
Did you hear that? When he says ye in the King James Bible, Y-E, it's always plural, you plural. So since he shared that, I'm going to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17. Now listen carefully. He says to you, if you're saved, baptized, and you're a member of a local church, this local church tonight, here's what he says in 1 Corinthians 3. He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, what is that? The local church. Ye, plural. Him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are, that's you, plural. So it is true he dwells in each of our hearts, and our bodies the temple of the Holy Spirit, but together we as a church are the temple of God. And when we come together, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit like we're doing tonight, and the Holy Spirit is present. By the way, local church membership is important. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Amen. It's a bunch of baloney. God is concerned about that. And so, and God wants us to be right with God. He wants us to be here when we have church. Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here in a wonderful way. And he says that we are the temple of God. So, in a sense, we can apply to this local church during this church dispensation the term Zion. We're not literally Mount Zion in Jerusalem, but it's the same principle. God looks at this. That's why when Brother Joe says that the local New Testament church is the nearest thing to heaven, this side of heaven, he's got something there. Amen? And I noticed Brother Joe, he's always here. He's here. And whenever that church gets together, he's here. And are you a member of the church, Brother Joe? Oh, I'm so glad. Amen. He's a member of the church. Amen and amen. You'd be well to follow that example and do as you hear there. And so Paul says to the local church at Corinth that you together are the temple of God. He warns any leader, by the way, in the church, and this speaks to the pastor and pastors. He warns any leader that if you destroy this temple, God will destroy you.
Right.
You know, that's why the pastor is the person over discipline in the church. I do believe in church discipline, amen. And the pastor is over church discipline. But If what happens if the head pastor needs discipline and God says, I'll deal with him.
Right.
I'll deal with him. Him God will destroy. And that's a serious, serious thing. I take that seriously. And we need to have the fear of the Lord restored to us in these days. And so there are what this is saying, and I'm going to say this. Again, look at verse 13, Psalm 102. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time has come. If God has blessed Jerusalem in the past, and I think we can say that, and if God's going to bless Jerusalem in the future, do you not think that the Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church of Jesus Christ has been blessed in the past, and God will bless her in the future? Absolutely. This is the place of God's blessing. You know, I'm in Scranton, Pennsylvania. If I had my druthers geographically, you know, I'd live in Florida. But I would not trade Florida or anything else for Scranton, Pennsylvania because of Scranton Revival Baptist Church and what God is doing in your life. And I'm part of that. And I've said it before, that I've got gold and silver. What's more valuable than gold and silver? It's the Word of God. But what's more valuable than gold and silver? It's the members of the local New Testament church. And so God says that is the place that I have blessed and I'm going to bless. And so I'm going to be here at Scranton Revival Baptist Church. You know, there are people that tell me they're going to be here and they're not here. Amen? But Jesus is here.
Amen.
The Bible is here.
Amen.
I'm going to be here. Brother Joe's here. Brother Z's here. Amen. And we're going to be here. And so I'm just saying that is God's place to bless. That's my first point, that God's place to bless is his Zion, the temple, so to speak, the local New Testament church. And And there are special times and seasons when God performs these blessings in the local New Testament church. We've seen it. Amen. We've seen special times when God has blessed in this church. But I don't care what season it is. I'm going to be faithful in season and out of season. I'm going to be faithful in the hard times and the good times in this place called the local New Testament church. And so I've been here for 45 years, pastoral ministry, and I've been asking God. I think of Joshua and Caleb. They were 40 years wandering around in the wilderness with Israel because of the disobedience of the children of Israel and the unbelief of the children of Israel. But they didn't stop believing God. They didn't stop trusting God. They didn't stop following His word. And God brought them into the promised land. And Caleb said when he was 85 years old, "Now therefore give me that mountain." And you know what? You pray, thank God for Joshua and Caleb. They stayed healthy and they got that set time when God blessed Israel. And you know what? I think of Brother Joe. Remember when he had that sickness and we were praying for him? And thank God he's still healthy. Amen. And he's still going. And I always call Brother Joe. I say, "You're Caleb, Brother Joe." I know God, when he called me to be Joshua. And he gave me that scripture. And I think Brother Joe is Caleb. And the fact that God has preserved us, here, still as pastor and deacon, right? Head pastor, head deacon. All these years, that bodes well for a set time coming for us. A set time. And so what I'm trying to say in this place, don't run away from here. Don't be like so many people have run away and missed the blessings. They've missed the set times. They've gone off, you see, and they've gone off on their own. And I can't emphasize that enough. The time to favor Zion, the set time has come. You know, Jesus put it this way. He said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." He is building the church. You know what? I've gone through times of barrenness when I didn't see a lot of people get saved. And then I've gone through times of blessedness. Hey, we're going through a time right now of blessedness. We're going through a time right now people getting saved. We're going through a time right now people getting baptized. Amen? And I think of certain women in the Bible. They were barren. They couldn't have any babies. I think of Sarah. She couldn't have a baby. Her name was Princess, but she couldn't have any prince, any baby, till God gave her Isaac. Amen. That was a set time. And she had to wait a long time for that set time. But it was worth it. Isaac was worth it because from him came Jacob and from him came Israel. And then Rebekah, same thing. And then she got pregnant with Jacob and Esau. And Rachel was barren. And then she got pregnant and had her kids. And then Hannah was barren. And then she got pregnant, had Samuel. And then Elizabeth had John the Baptist. I'm just saying that there are set times when you are going to be fruitful and you're going to see fruit, but keep on witnessing, keep on serving and staying with it, and God will bless. In the days of King Cyrus, through his decree, the Jews were able to return to Zion and rebuild their temple. And later on, in the 20th year of another ruler in Persia, Artaxerxes, in 444 BC, Nehemiah was given a decree to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem, rebuild the city of Jerusalem. Hey, these were set times that God had to bless earthly Zion. And so I'm just saying, this is the place where I want to stay. This is the place where you want to raise your family, beloved. This is the place where you want to witness and win souls and bring them in when they're saved. This is the place. And we're going to have set times, and we have had set times. And so when Solomon finished building the temple, the Bible says, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." I'm glad glory's in the house tonight. Amen. Glory, good to have you here. And I'm glad that the glory of the Lord can fill this house. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and he says, glory in the church. Amen. And in Christ Jesus, world without end. That's what we want to have. And we want to have glory in the church. Now, I was talking to the men at Revival Seekers Prayer Meeting. And I was reading to them from Acts chapter 4. And it says in Acts 4, they had a prayer meeting at that church, the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem, I call it. And they had a prayer meeting there. And they were praying. And the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And they went out, and what did they do? They spoke the word of God with boldness. And then it says, and great grace and great power was upon not only the apostles, but all the people. They all had great grace upon them. They all had great power. And they were witnessing for Jesus Christ. In Acts 8, they went out, and the people were witnessing to everywhere. And because they had great grace and great power upon them from the Holy Ghost. Now, I asked the question of the men in that prayer meeting. I'll ask the question of the men in church tonight. What can you infer or draw as a conclusion if it says in Acts 4 that in that place of that church they had great grace and great power upon them? What can you infer? Of course, they were witnessing and winning people to Christ. But if you can have great grace and great power, what else could you have? Could you infer? And Matt was there. He heard it. Luke was there and gave the answer. Luke got it right. Didn't you, Luke, that time? All right. Ben, do you know it? No, he said no. He's trying to point to Ben. But all right. Anybody know that? Any one of the men? All right. I'll tell you. If Kyle, what do you say? Yes, and of course they did, and that's. But I'm saying, if you could have great grace and great power, could you not have small grace and small power? Because why would it say great if there wasn't another condition? And the point I was trying to make to the men were that great grace, by the way, grace there means the ability and power to live for Christ. And grace is that, the ability and the strength that God gives you to live for Christ, and power is the power to witness for Christ that he gives you and have conversions, like Kyle said. But if you can have that, you can have times of being low in grace. Have you ever heard the phrase low in grace? I always pray to God. I say, I don't want to be low in grace. I don't want to be low in power. I want great grace and great power, and I want the church to experience that. And really, great grace and great power and great conversions are times of revival. That's really what revival is. It's a high tide of God working in your life. And so we ought to be praying for power. We ought to be praying that we are full of God in our lives and not low in grace and at a low ebb. And I like what Dr. Charles Ware said when he prayed for this church. He said, I pray that what would be done here would not be able to be humanly explained. And so I'm saying there are set times, and this is the place of set times when God pours out his grace, when God pours out his blessing upon us and he visits us. But that not only the place, but I have a second part of this Psalm 102:13. He says in Psalm 102:13, thou shalt arise, thou shalt arise. And what is that? That's talking about the person of this set time of blessing and of revival. God says that I will arise. And it says in Psalm 102:16, when the Lord shall build up Zion. And Matthew 16, Jesus said, I will build my church. Do you think that Jesus wants to build his church? I do believe it. You think he wants to build Scranton Revival Baptist Church? Oh, yes, he wants to build it. He wants to build it with lives upon the solid foundation of Jesus Christ crucified. And he wants to build it with precious stones, and we're to gather those stones and bring them in. But Jesus is the one that is giving us the power. Jesus is the one that's going with us and going before us and blessing us. And so you need to be encouraged that you've got the person of the Lord and his promise that he says that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Thank God for that. And Jesus also said this. He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And that's the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been sent to give power to you and to me to witness for Jesus Christ. And that's why you ought to step out and go soul winning. That's why you ought to go to prayer meeting and pray for the power of God. And then go out and witness for Jesus Christ. Because he said, "I've sent the Holy Spirit to be your helper." And when you step out in faith, you see the power of God move. When Israel stepped out into the Jordan River, it was at flood stage. But what happened? The Jordan River piled up and they walked across on dry ground and went into the promised land. When we go out and trust God, God blesses and he begins to save people and build the New Testament church. Thank God for that. I think of Gamaliel in Acts 5. He said this, "If this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." I think of the day of Pentecost, 3,000 got saved in one day. And you know what? The book of Acts are the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. But what were the apostles doing? They were moving and they were witnessing for Christ. Thank God that that's been going on in this place and from this place. Thank God for the person of Jesus Christ who's praying for us to go and bring forth fruit. And thank God for the Holy Spirit that the Lord sent that we can go out and be witnesses for him. Listen, that's what God wants. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit and he wants you to move out and get involved in marching on the great gates of hell. Think of the children of Israel. What did they do when they got to the promised land? They just stood there and said, "Oh God, do something. You know, they're giants here. Kill them." No, God said, "March." And they marched around Jericho, didn't they? They marched around Jericho one time for 6 days straight. And then on the seventh day, they marched around it seven times. And then they shouted. And what happened? The walls of Jericho fell down flat. And they marched in. You know what? I believe there is a set time when the prayers we've prayed and the desires we've had for Scranton, Pennsylvania will come to pass and God will move in a mighty way. And in the meantime, what am I supposed to be doing? I'm supposed to be living for God. 1 Peter 2:12 says, there's a time when God will visit you and bless you. And he said, the people will glorify God because of you when God saves them. Why? Because even when they were not saved, you kept on keeping on and you were faithful. I thank God for Miss Awilda. She stays faithful and God blesses her, but she stays faithful. She was so happy to see her husband come to church Wednesday night. God was moving and brought him out. And Marilla's here and her husband, Benji's brother, has been coming out. God did a work in his life. Listen, when God does a work in somebody's life, they'll remember you were faithful. They'll remember you were a testimony to them. They may be cursing you now. They may not appreciate you now, but keep your testimony. They can see your good works. They can see your testimony. 1 Peter 2:12 says, "And in the day of visitation, when the set time comes and God moves in their life," you see, the person of God moves in their life, they're gonna glorify God on your behalf that you stayed with it and you were faithful. So listen, the person of the set times, the place of the set time. I'm so glad that this church isn't a social club. The head of this church is not Pastor Bloom. The head of this church is Jesus Christ. He He's the head of it. My boss is a Jewish carpenter, amen, but he's risen and glorified, and he's building this church. He's the invisible head of this church, but he's real, friends. He's real, and I've seen him through the years, and in set times, he really pours out his grace. It's sad, though, that young Christians so often, they're not there in church. They're not there because, oh, I went through a hard time. I'm feeling low emotionally. Listen, you just keep on coming. Because there are set times he'll pour out his blessing, and you want to be in the right place, and you want to be looking to the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and keep on keeping on and keep on serving him, because the set time will come, and the Lord says he will arise. It's like he's been sleeping. You ever feel like the Lord's sleeping? I know you have. You know, the disciples had it. The Lord was sleeping on the boat. The waves were coming in. The wind was blowing. And they were like, where's Jesus? Oh, he's asleep back there. What's he doing sleeping? We're going to die. And the Lord woke up and he rebuked the storm. And he said, how is it that you don't have any faith? Now, he knew they had faith, but they weren't using their faith. He was amazed that they were doubting him. Listen, when he appears to be sleeping, I know he's awake. Amen. And he appears to be sleeping, I know that he's here. I know that the set time will come when he will pour out the blessing that we've been praying for, whether it be for our nation, whether it be for revival. I know that the time will come. And so we keep on keeping on. Amen. And amen. George Mueller died with some prayers unanswered, and they were answered after he died. Amen. He believed God. So we're talking about the set time, the place of it, the local church for our time, the person of it, the Lord Jesus, and the blessed Holy Spirit who's here. The Lord's put him here. And therefore, we can look forward to that. And then the set time, we have the plan of it. What's God's plan during the set time? I'll tell you what God's plan is. Look at verse 13 of Psalm 102. It says this. It says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. What's God's plan? To favor us. What is favor us? Pour out his blessings of grace upon us. And the early church had that great grace, and they had that great power. They had the Holy Spirit pouring out the love of God in their heart. And you know, the Holy Spirit is compared to wind. And you can, how many have ever flown a kite? Amen. How many have ever been told, go fly a kite? You know, but let's say you're out, you know, you're going to fly a kite, and they got the string on the kite, and you're out there on a hill, and you start running with that kite, and the tail of the kite's gone. You ever done this? And the kite just goes. One of the men tell me, what's the problem? Why does that kite just go? Ben knows that one.
No wind.
No wind. And there's no mic, Ben. Ben said, no wind. Check that. No wind, amen. That's not my problem, amen. But no wind. And you know what? You need to have your sails up, because God's plan is for the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow. You know what? When the Holy Spirit begins to blow, that causes movement. When you see the wind to blow, that makes the kite fly. The wind causes movement. When you see somebody where there's no movement of God in their life, there's no reality with God, there's no action, that's because they need what? The wind to blow. They need the Holy Spirit, amen. And that's what we need. And so that's what we're to pray for. We're to pray for the wind. But we can have our sails up, and we can be ready for the wind to blow. And when the wind is blowing, I'm going to be there, you know. That's why I keep moving with the gospel. When I first came to Scranton, I used to go to the same guy's house. I used to give him the gospel over and over and over and over and over and over again. He just didn't want to get saved. And he didn't change. And you know what God showed me you were an idiot. Why didn't you move around and give it to others? And we just keep on moving. Thank God for that. And you keep on witnessing. And God will save people and he'll work. And so there is the plan of it. And the plan of it is for the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow. But you say, well, what can I do? I can't do anything. Yes, you can. You can pray. Oh, what can I do? Yes, you can. You can go out and witness. And you can keep going and moving with the gospel. Hey, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he told the people, move the stone. And when they moved the stone, then he raised Lazarus from the dead. He wants us to step out in faith. We've had these big days, amen? And somebody says, well, these big days are temporary. What good are they? You get all going and they're just temporary. Well, when did you get saved? On a big day?
Carnival
Sunday. He's still here. And we have others here. They were saved on these big days and they're still here. Yeah, the big days may be temporary, but the work of the wind of the Holy Spirit is permanent. And when you see these things happening, they're real and they're lasting. And so we need to realize God's plan is to favor us during these big days. God's plan during these set times of revival is to do a work in somebody's life that's going to last. And God is a God of set times of blessing, and so we keep on going. Now, I know there are seasons when you don't see much happening. Do you see much happening in the winter? No, you don't. But yet the Bible says you sow the seed in season and out of season. I mean, yesterday I was up in Carbondale. And the guy wasn't home that we usually invite, that usually comes. And we went by somebody else's house that did come a few times. They've not been gone. And I saw a lady out there with her kids. And I just went right by. We just went right by the lady. I was driving. And we went right by the lady. And we just kept going to our next visit. And something told me, do not go by that lady. You turn around and go back. And I went back, and her name is Cassandra, and she had kids. And she signed her kids up for the bus ministry. She gave me her number. She was so ready. It was the time. But you see, I'm moving with the gospel. If you get doors slammed, keep on going. I believe Carbondale's walls of resistance are getting ready to fall. And I'm just going to keep on going. Amen. I like what Dr. Carter said. He said, if you're going to be a soul winner and in the ministry, you need a skin about 6 inches thick, about as thick as an elephant. You need a hard exterior, but you need a soft heart. And you go out and you witness for Christ and you keep going. Why? Because God will favor that. God will bless that. We will see these set times. By the way, our church saw a set time from 1986 to 1996. A time of great growth where we went from zero buses to three buses. We had at the end of that period about 275 baptisms that year. That was a time of growth. Then 2000 to 2012, the same thing. I'm just saying, you sow the word in season and out of season. And I had the low times too. I had the hard times too. But we still kept going. Amen. And still were faithful. And so realize that God's plan is to pour out his blessings, but stay with it. The place of it, the local church, the person of it, the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the plan of it, and then finally the performance of it. Notice what it says here in Psalm 102:13, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. You know, when the time comes that God's going to pour out his blessing, it comes. The Bible says, on the day of Pentecost, suddenly they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they had power. And 3,000 got saved. It suddenly happened. And God does perform his great work at the set time, just like he said that he would do it. And it's seasonal. You know, my wife was talking to me on the way down from church, and we were looking at the trees, and she said, isn't it amazing? Everything is starting to bud. Everything is popping now. Everything is starting to blossom. You know what? That happens every season during this time, right? God is faithful. And he blesses. And it's the season of spring. It's the season of blessing. And we need to realize, listen, God will perform his promises. He says in his word, and he's very clear, there shall be showers of blessing. Hey, we even have a song like that. There shall be showers of blessing. And there will be. April showers bring what? May flowers. Yeah, you could, some plant, some water. But God gives the increase. You can plant the gospel seed. You can water it with prayer. And then God gives the fruit where people are ready to come to Christ. And you need to pick that fruit. Amen. You need to bring your sheaves with you. Bring them to church. Bring them down the aisle. Because listen to me. God will perform his promises. He does it at set times. And they're seasonal times. And God is faithful. And summer, winter, springtime, and harvest, he comes through. Now, are there signs that summer's coming? Do you see the signs that summer's coming? Of course you do. We're in the spring season. Are there signs that we are coming to a set time of God moving? Well, yeah, one of the signs is people that are praying for it fervently and asking God for it. Another one of those signs is that people are witnessing and bringing people and people getting saved. And by the way, the Bible says that David, when he was going to attack the enemy, God says, you wait, David, for a sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees. And when he heard that sound, he moved, you see. And it's the way when God performs his promises, you see a stirring and you see a moving of God, and it encourages you to keep on going. And it's sure, you know, the tide goes out, but if the tide's going out, that's like being low in grace. The tide will come in again. I am praying for the tide to come in. I'm praying for God to turn the tide. I'm praying for a mighty move of God. In the meantime, I'll do what I can. In the meantime, I'll stay where I need to stay. But I want to expect great things from God. I want to attempt great things for God. And I'm telling you, God will perform these things. He does it at set times. And so stay faithful in the place where he has you. Look to the person of Jesus and for the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. Realize that the plan is to pour out his grace so that people get under conviction, they get saved, they get baptized. It's a blessing to see that happen and then realize that God's plan is that blessing, and then he performs his plan in glorious ways, and you will see it. I have seen it, and I believe we will see it again. The time to favor Zion, the set time is come. But let me just say this tonight. Where are you going to be? Are you going to be involved in giving tithes and offerings? Are you going to be involved in a soul winning outreach? Like on a Thursday or a Saturday or a bus outreach? Are you going to be involved in that? Are you going to be involved, you see, in a prayer meeting, coming to prayer meeting and praying and asking God for revival? Are you going to be involved in witnessing for Christ and bringing people to Christ and bringing them forward? You see, God is saying because of these things that we need to make a commitment tonight that we're going to be in this place. And we are going to see and be part of God's plan. And we're going to see the performance of that plan because we're where we are supposed to be. Listen, don't go off somewhere. Get right in the middle of it. Get involved with Sunday school and building the Sunday school. You know, we've got teachers in our Sunday school. And if they're not there for Saturday, I say you can't teach this Sunday. You missed out. And they know if I'm not there Saturday, they say, Pastor, okay, we know we missed out. We're not there. Don't be like that. Don't miss out. Don't miss out on church just because the devil tells you, stay home today. That could be the very day God's going to move. That could be the very service God's going to move. You don't know the day or the hour. You don't know the day or the hour. Jesus comes back. So I'm always going to be ready for that. Amen? Yeah. Listen, the set time will come, but where will you be when the set time comes? On the sidelines? Sitting the bench somewhere? Or in the battle? I'll tell you what, I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out what God's doing. And I am praying for God to give us great grace. And I've got my sails up, Jesse, and I'm going to be ready when God blesses. I don't want to miss out. I appreciate when we have men's prayer meeting. A lot of times I'll share something from the Word of God in men's prayer meeting. And do you know who really stays on point with what I've shared in his prayer? It's this guy right here. He will pray and he will stay right on point. And people in here can testify to it. Right on point with what I shared. And that's by the power of the Holy Spirit. You could do the same thing with the sermons. You could put your life on point with what the angel of the church, the messenger, the man of God is sharing. You can do that. And Deacon Joe over the years has been an example of that. Just stays on point with what the preacher's preaching and follows through on that. And you can do that tonight. God wants you to do that tonight. And so I want to challenge you. The time to favor her, the set time has come. Don't miss out. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder tonight, there's a song. It says, pass me not, O gentle Savior. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I believe God is working to stir people up to give tithes and offerings.